Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, live right here on this Monday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. On this Monday, the college basketball slate just a tad bit smaller, but still, one bid to the big dance is available tonight. The Sun Belt Tournament Championship game between Arkansas State and Troy. We will look at that. We'll talk college basketball as well. Connecticut, led by Paige Beckers, looking to win the Big East tournament title tonight. And we'll get through all the games, and Donnie Wrightside will give out some picks. We'll talk some NBA action. You'll have the prop perspective with the one, the only TV, Tom Vecchio, later on in this third hour. And any news that we might see in terms of NFL free agency with the legal tampering window beginning at noon Eastern time on this Monday afternoon, we'll bring you, if we can see it. It looks like Twitter is having a very difficult Monday and start to this new week.
No, it certainly is at this point now. So breaking news might have to be on a delay or on a hold right now. I'm trying to fire off some spicy tweets and they keep telling me no.
TikTok?
I figure like, what is the deal here? Are we going on the threads? Like, where are we shifting this over to at this point right now? Blue Sky is where we have to chip into for NFL free agency today on this day. So you never know, because the interesting part about this, looks like it's loading a little bit for me, but I usually bring up the poll now to get the who's actually voting. Like, I don't even know who's voting or what's going on. So here we go.
I'll tell you where we stand based on the percentages that we had when the graphic was made in terms of that Fade the Public poll in just a moment. I don't think Right Side is welcomed. A guy named Right Side on Blue Sky, but that could just be what I have heard. Talk to some of your boys. Would hate to see that. But DRS, we do have the poll anyway, despite the fact that Twitter has been a little bit chaotic as of this Monday morning. And it's a great question with one of my favorite potential answers at the top that I look forward to see what Donnie's take is on it. High major level of college basketball, power conference, if you will. Of course, in college football, it is the Power Four, the ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, SEC. But when you get to college basketball, you add in another high major league, if you will, in the Big East. So you can only do four options in a poll on Twitter, but we technically have five. Looking forward to the response. Which high major conference tournament are you most looking forward to this week? It's time now for Fade the Public. And you do wonder, with some of the issues and the technology that has been faced this morning, just how much of the public was able to put in their vote for this poll. But right now, Donnie, your four options, technically five, the ACC or Big East, option one, Big 12, option two, Big 10, option three, SEC, option four, pretty narrow race between the SEC and the Big 10. But with maybe the most anticipated SEC men's tourney ever, with so many quality teams, the Southeastern Conference does win the poll as of this moment, 40% of the vote. Which way did DRS get his vote down?
Yeah, I don't believe this. Like, because we're down right now. Did you, what was it, like one vote for you for the Big Ten, which got the 36% right in that? Because I would have figured the Big Ten should have got lumped in with the Big East and actually gave them an actual fighting chance in there, where the Big 12 gets disrespected. The SEC, we knew, would be in first place. But I need to see if that voting had actually stopped at this point, because I'm shocked that the Big Ten got 36% of those votes in here. I need to see some actual updates when they start to come through here.
Conference moves the needle. Conference that moves the needle garners a lot of attention in Indianapolis, and people paying the appropriate respect, in my estimation, to this nation's greatest sports hosting city that is downtown Indy. To be able to host the Big Ten tournament in men's basketball immediately following a great women's tournament. Congrats to UCLA winning their first Big Ten title against their crosstown foes from Los Angeles, USC, getting some revenge. UCLA might be that number one overall seed in the women's NCAA tourney selection Sunday, also just 6 days away. But Donnie, really the question for you, not what way did you vote, not are you fitting the public, what did you make of Joe Friso, our producer extraordinaire, combining the ACC and the Big East in option number one? And do you think most of that percentage voting-wise is the ACC, or do you think it's some love for the Big East?
That's probably more love for the Big East, because Duke seems to be, again, Duke's not really a runaway victor in the ACC. It just appears that way. Like Clemson, like right on their heels along with Louisville. So not like, oh, this is going to be a predetermined function. But I do think the Big East just generates that nostalgia, because St. John's is back this year. It's always in Madison Square Garden. You always get those interesting things. Now, Shabazz Napier from, what, 15 years ago at this point now? Like, you have those highlights already in there. The Allen Iverson days from the past, the Ray Allen days. You get all that hype there from there. So, was it cool? Was it Kemba? It wasn't Shabazz?
Kemba. Cardiac Kemba.
When did Shabazz go off, though? When did Shabazz go nuts?
Shabazz also went off.
Yeah.
But the run that you're, I think you're thinking of the 2011 run?
I can't. It was 10 or 15 years ago, whatever it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
What did Shabazz do? Shabazz hit a natty, though,
didn't he? 2014, UConn. Yeah. I don't know. What was UConn's outlook in 2014? I know it was the one title that Kevin Ollie won, and it was like the anomaly. Let me go back. Let's take a look here on KenPom on what the numbers were for UConn.
Might as well.
They weren't great, 39th in terms of offensive efficiency, but that was out of the American. So the game in the Big East tournament, that run that you're thinking of, was Cardiac Kemba, the step back against Pitt inside Madison Square Garden. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. So there you go. The nostalgia's back in the Garden. Home court advantage. We'll see if it plays out. But I sentimental for me for the Big East. Like when I was a kid growing up and cable TV first came in, like, obviously being in New Jersey, Villanova just outside the city, upsetting Georgetown, like, that was the place to be, was Madison Square Garden. So it holds a little bit of that nostalgia for me.
Yeah, and then you saw, of course, what we had in terms of the overtime game against Syracuse. Incredible things when you think of Syracuse in the Big East tournament, Syracuse in the ACC tournament. Very, very different. But DRS, as we look at the odds for the high major tournament and the favorites in each league. St. John's, of course, the favorite inside Madison Square Garden. Will be really interesting to see what the 2-seed Creighton provides. UConn is the 3-seed. Xavier the 4, Marquette the 5. Marquette and Xavier will face off in their opening game on Thursday. Winner of that one, of course, will advance to semifinal Friday at the Big East tournament to take on St. John's. That will be really interesting, or more than likely St. John's. St. John's does have a game in the quarterfinals on Thursday as well. Creighton, a very peculiar team. A lot of talent there this year. Stephen Ashworth and Ryan Kalkbrenner, maybe the best big in all of college basketball. But Greg McDermott's teams have often been known for great offense and a ton of pace, and the defense trails behind. This year, the defense is really good for Creighton. We'll see what happens for the Jays moving forward. I think the Big Ten tournament, of course, I'm Big Ten Ben, but I have a little bit of bias toward it. I think it is really compelling. Michigan State won the regular season crown by 3 games. But still, the Spartans not looked at as the runaway favorite. I do think there is some value on Purdue. The Boilermakers are the 5-seed. They are a 7-1 price. Michigan losing yesterday in East Lansing to the Spartans in that rivalry game dropped Michigan all the way to the 4-seed in the Big Ten tournament. The Maize and Blue still earning that double bye, but dropping their final 3 games of this regular season and certainly leaking some oil. I think Purdue is in a great matchup. against Michigan in what would be that 4-5 game. Maryland, the 3 seed. Maryland might have a difficult quarterfinal game on Friday against a streaking Illinois team that is the 6 seed in Indianapolis. Bottom half of the bracket, sensational. And I do think Purdue or Illinois could have a good path to that tournament title game against, more than likely, Michigan State.
Yeah, I think Michigan State also, obviously, you know, being the favorites at plus 260, a great shot. Like, they're just the type of team that probably would thrive off that neutral court environment where maybe not the greatest shooting lines, not used to playing there. They don't rely on the three-point shot to be the end-all, be-all. But if one of these teams can get out like Purdue, which, by the way, how do we lose Purdue +4.5 on Friday night? I mean, they covered 99.9% of that game. I woke up and saw they lost. I mean, you got to be kidding me at that point. So Purdue still has the weapons here that if they get hot from three-point range, sometimes it doesn't matter what the other team does on offense.
And Michigan State shot the three ball great yesterday in the regular season finale. Free agency tracker next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. As we spent most of our opening hour detailing, it is a very important week around the National Football League. We saw a flurry of moves this weekend. All the moves officially done before the official start of the league year. That's 4 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday when the trades can officially go through, when players can sign that contract on the dotted line. But today, important as the unofficial official start of free agency, noon Eastern time, that legal tampering period, the negotiating window when clubs and players and representation can agree to terms on new deals, that officially begins. We could be seeing things happen right now, but Twitter being down at this moment. I don't know if Adam Schefter has TikTok, but he might want to get to it as quickly as possible. DRS will provide those free agency trackers throughout the next few days here, of course, early in the NFL offseason. But free agency, we think, is going to be a frenzy, although we've already seen a ton of big news in the last few days or so. Of course, maybe the biggest name to monitor, and it might sound tongue-in-cheek to call him the biggest name in the market, but truly, he is. Sam Darnold, where does the quarterback end up in 2025? With the Seahawks trading away Geno Smith, there is already some speculation that would be a natural landing spot. So the question is where, and then maybe how much, in terms of how much money per year does Sam Darnold garner at the quarterback spot? What will that tell us about the inflated salaries at the quarterback position?
It is going to be interesting where he does go, but I think we're figuring right now it's probably going to be Seattle. The other landing spot you'd figure would be the Pittsburgh Steelers. Not much smoke coming out, but we know that could change where if you are an agent, and let's just say Sam Darnold is settled in Seattle, and you're not getting exactly what you want, you pick up the phones, you use some of these beat writers. Hey, Steelers now checking in, and Carolina now checking in, Miami now checking in to create that bidding market out here for a certain said player. But for me, I think Sam Darnold's going to get a pretty penny because understand this. We keep saying, did you see the contracts that were given out yesterday by basically free agent football players? Imagine if you get the free agency, and as you just said, you're getting a bidding war. Like, again, you just start with the quarterback. Teams always need a quarterback. As long as you have two people interested, there's no limit to what that number could be. So I'm interested to see how quickly Sam Darnold signs. I don't think, to be honest, let's put it like odds on this. Sam Darnold's going to sign today, right? He doesn't even make it like into tomorrow, I would feel.
I think so. Don't forget, last year, the biggest move of the offseason was another quarterback leaving Minnesota. That was Kirk Cousins. He signed that four-year, $180 million deal with Atlanta almost as soon as that negotiating window opened up. Donnie, we call it the legal tampering period. Like, there hasn't been phone calls and conversations happening the last few weeks and certainly the last few days for Sam Darnold and his representation with various other spots around the National Football League. We like to play front office exec here on the Early Line. And I think that is going to be a part of the question. How much and what is the length of the contract for Sam Darnold? If you are a GM, if you are John Schneider in Seattle, Donnie, what seems to be fair market value? What would you be willing to spend to make Sam Darnold your starting quarterback?
I mean, just saw a guy sign for, you know, an average value of $55 million, but got all that guaranteed money. If he is hitting the open market, are we going to be surprised? Like, Geno, well, first of all, let's credit it by this. Seattle Seahawks didn't want to pay Geno Smith, let's just say, $35 million. We'll call it $30 million, just to give it a round number at this point. Darnold's going to get more than that. So he's probably going to get 35 plus. And what's a good, because we have such an interesting dichotomy on like when Brock Purdy signs. The reason I'm bringing up other quarterbacks just to try to frame this. Yeah. Like the one that throws everything out is the Baker Mayfield deal to Tampa Bay, where I go, when I get a Pro Bowl quarterback for about $30 million a year, like why am I signing you to $45 million? I'd rather have Baker Mayfield. Now, granted, that now happened a few off seasons ago and sort of negates what you're getting this year. But I put it this way, surprising to me if Darnold doesn't clock in at $35+ million per year at his age. I actually, if I put a round number on that, I'd go $40 million for Darnold. That's crazy. Now, that's what a starting makes, particularly on the free agent market.
Baker signed a 3-year $100 million deal, $33 million per year AAV last offseason because he proved it in Tampa. And then they were still like, all right, but can you continue to prove it and raise our ceiling? You would say that Baker Mayfield has done that. If Mayfield were to hit the open market again, that number would no longer be $33 million, but you kind of feel as though that's the same philosophy for Sammy D. You are a veteran presence. You can provide a stable floor. Are you going to elevate our ceiling to be a playoff contender if we're expected to win 7 to 8 games? If we're even more than that, the Pittsburgh Steelers, a perennial playoff team, can you make us a true conference contender? That's the conversation, I think, around Sam Darnold. Speaking of Baker Mayfield's teammate in Tampa, after 8 years with the Buccaneers, Chris Godwin set to become a free agent. And, of course, another significant knee injury this past year in 2024. But after Devontae Adams signs and T. Higgins under the tag, not a lot of wide receiver love in the market right now. Certainly some four defensive linemen. Khalil Mack, a lot of conversation. He might return to Chicago to end out his playing days with the Bears. And Donnie, two guys for your Birds, Milton Williams and Josh Sweat up front. Of course, Sweat, a monumental performance in Super Bowl 59. But the question is, can Howie Roseman keep getting away with it? Can he keep being financially savvy to find the money to pay everybody? I think that's the question for both of those D linemen in Philadelphia.
Yeah, and I doubt either one of those will be back in Philadelphia, which is why they actually got the free agency. You saw the Philadelphia Eagles understand the game that was being played. Don't let the guys you want get the free agency. Zach Bond was tied up immediately right away and said, okay, let's file that away. Now, also, you can look at running back position there where Saquon Barkley got the big deal, but he wasn't a free agent. If we look at that list again, like Sam Darnold's probably going to get the most overall money, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's actually Milton Williams, the defensive tackle for the Eagles, that really rings the cash register. A young defensive tackle that can get pressure on the quarterback by himself and stop the run. That's a price point there. That's, put it this way, that's why he's not back with the Eagles. He's actually too expensive. If they wanted to bring back Josh Sweat, they could probably get something done at a decent deal, but maybe they want to spend their money and allocate it differently. The Milton Williams one is the one that the Eagles go, boy, we'd love to have you. We actually can't even afford you at this point.
Another great draft by Howie Roseman. Third round pick, Milton Williams, now 4 years ago in 2021 out of Louisiana Tech. So he's coming up for that second contract in the NFL after the discounted rookie deal. The Eagles just might not have enough chips to keep him back in Philly. Of course, any free agency news that we get in the next 40 minutes will bring you, and I'm sure we will have a ton to recap tomorrow morning as well. Let's talk some NBA action on this Monday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A 12-game NBA slate on this Monday to break down for you as we go around the association. Your two premier NBA handicappers on this network, Donnie Wrightside and Ben Stevens, ready to give you some picks, some previews, and some best bets for this Monday in the association. Let's do it again after a Sunday matinee, a Monday evening in Oklahoma City between the Thunder and the Nuggets. Yesterday, OKC, 7.5-point home favorite. They cruised to a 24-point win, 127-103. Now the spread up by 1.5 a 9-point number in favor of the Thunder against the Nuggets. Total at 238. DRS, we talked about OKC riding a 7-game win streak. They have covered in 5 of their last 6 wins. Denver just 5-4 since the All-Star break, and they have gone under in 6 of their last 7. How do you break down tonight's matchup? Can the Nuggets get some revenge, or will OKC continue to prove why far and away they are the best team out West?
They are the best team, but sometimes you take a look at that loss last night and say, well, what can be better for us? I don't know. Nikola Jokic actually gets a triple-double, but he's only one, you know what, assist off or double. Assist was it a rebound or assist? One assist shy yesterday. Yeah. But for me, it's such an anomaly where they play the same game back-to-back at night. So yeah. I'll go 9 points, and I'll take the 9 points here, which is currently at the FanDuel Sportsbook. But it's hard to handle. Like, we don't even know who's playing in this game. And it's a back-to-back in the same building. I don't know. Give me the points in this one. That's the NBA for you right there.
You would assume, though, an early start on Sunday. Yes, the second leg of a back-to-back, but in the same spot that basically everybody would play. Denver, by the way, under in 7 of 9 since the All-Star break. Only 2 covers in that 9-game span. 8-8 against the spread as an underdog this year. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who is the NBA's leading scorer, averaging 33 points per game. 3 consecutive with at least 40. The points prop tonight for SGA, 33.5. Nikola Jokic does have a points prop listed. He is the only Nugget currently with props available on the FanDuel Sportsbook. All right, let's go to Memphis up next. Phoenix, a road win in Dallas last night. Only 1.5 behind the Mavs, who have lost 5 straight, all 5 as an underdog, of course, without Kyrie Irving. No covers in that span. The Grizzlies, a win yesterday as well. Trying to play better basketball, trying to solidify their playoff spot in the Western Conference standings. 4.5-point spread in favor of Memphis. In Memphis, that total on its way up, 243 and a hook. What's the look tonight in the Grind City?
Yeah, updated line, -4.5. Both of these teams did play yesterday, as you pointed out. But if I'm looking optimistically, here's the tough part about the Suns. Like, I know they're getting a little more galvanizing effort because they feel they can actually get into the play-in round, which is hilarious when the expectations before the season were probably championship. But also understand this. John Morant, Desmond Bane, Wells, Aldama, and Edie, maybe a little bit fresher legs for them on a back-to-back in their own building here. I know they were traveling last night, but then let's just say Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, and Kevin Durant. Like, they're all 3 expected to play tonight. If they do, you're probably more lean on getting the points, but even if they do play, Ben, it's a lot of miles on some of those legs there for the Phoenix Suns. I'll just go with the home team, fresher legs, younger legs in their own building, and I'll lay the 4.5 points.
The Grizz did win last night on the road in New Orleans, 107-104, but did not come anywhere close to covering as a double-digit favorite. In fact, DRS, Memphis, 4-6 since the All-Star break. Just one cover in that span a few nights ago on Friday against the Dallas Mavericks. They did win that game handily. Phoenix is covered in its last 2 games as an underdog, 10-14 against the spread as a dog this year. Again, a game the Suns would really like to have. Will they be able to win outright? We shall see. Memphis now at the 40-win benchmark. Personally, I've got the Grizzlies team total over in terms of their win total over from the offseason at 45.5. Need a few more here down the home stretch. Some injury news around the NBA, by the way. Mm-hmm. LeBron James out for maybe a week or two for the Lakers. They're on the road tonight in Brooklyn. Confirm the other New York team, Jalen Brunson, will miss probably 2 weeks for the New York Knicks. The Knicks continue the road trip out in Northern California against the Kings. New York still booked as an ever so slight favorite, laying 2.5 points.
Yeah, Kings on a back-to-back. That's simple there at that point. And as you just said, that Brunson's out, but so it looks like it's going to be McBride, Bridges, Hart, Ananobi, and Carl Anthony Towns in the lineup. That's good enough for me. And again, no real X's and O's here. You're with down one of your best players, but I always like that rest advantage. New York takes care of business in Sacramento.
The New York Knicks have lost 3 straight. They've gone under in 3 straight. They have gone under in 6 of their last 7. 7 of 9 since the All-Star break. The Kings under in 5 of their last 7. Sacramento is covered in 7 in a row. Kind of like in the Kings tonight, but maybe an under of a short total around 219. TV Tom Vecchio, The Prop Perspective, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
TV Tom Vecchio joins us here on this Monday morning for his prop perspective for a Monday night slate, but also a look back on the trade deadline in the National Hockey League on Friday. A bunch of blockbuster moves and what it means for the stretch run on the ice this season. Vecchio, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here.
Of course, thanks for having me. I want to give a quick shout out to High Point University coming back with a huge second half. Joe Ranieri and I were doing in-game live yesterday. We get them live at halftime. Great offense. They are still, I think, 23 in KenPom offensive rating. They are going to be an upset watch once March Madness rolls around. So shout out to them. Let's roll into today.
High Point making its first ever trip to the NCAA tournament in 26 seasons as a D1 program. Alan Huss. The Huss bus marches on to the big dance. Vecchio, as we saw some big moves on Friday, we were breaking down the NHL trade deadline. A lot of chaos around Mikko Rantanen, but he is traded from Carolina to Dallas. A big pickup for the Stars. And Brad Marchand leaving Boston and heads down to Florida to now team up with the Panthers. Because of that, some movement. Florida, a 6-1 price to win Lord Stanley's Cup entering Friday's deadline. Now 5-1 remaining the favorites. And Dallas moves up by a dollar as well. 7-1, now 6-1. Those are the two top teams at the board. Tom, how do those blockbuster trades help both Florida and Dallas the remainder of this season?
So it helps Florida, but Marchand's not playing. Matthew Tkachuk isn't playing right now. So the conversation around Florida is like, once they get healthy, like they're going to be a problem. But like, we're not at that point. They aren't healthy. We don't know when they're going to come back. Tkachuk's on long-term IR. Like, he won't be activated until the playoffs. So it's like, we have hope, but we're just not there yet because it's just not going to, hasn't come to fruition yet. The Stars, I've said for years that the Stars are an absolute machine. They have depth down the middle. They extended Wyatt Johnson, their young player. Like, they are a team you really, really need to worry about. As much as I like the Winnipeg Jets because Connor Hellebuyck is awesome, I think the West runs through Dallas. And if you had to pick right now, I think you make a bet on it. Like, which conference will win the Stanley Cup? It's got to be Dallas as the favorite, and honestly, that's where it should come from.
And by the way, four games on the slate tonight as we start that post, let's just say, deadline season right up to the playoffs. One team I don't think you have to worry about tonight is Chicago. -520 at the FanDuel Sportsbook for Colorado against Chicago tonight. Let's talk about that. Any looks from that one or an upset brewing at as high as +410 across the board? That's outrageous.
Yeah, the Blackhawks aren't good. The Avs made some really solid moves at the deadline. They're just a machine at home. They're basically putting games over by themselves. They're literally scoring 5, 6, 7 goals in their recent outings. So you could take a team total for the Avs. I assume it's 3.5. I haven't dug into it exactly yet, but it would be a team total for the Avs and probably MacKinnon or Makar for 2 points as usual. MacKinnon just became the first player to hit 100 points this season. He's an awesome option. They just traded for Brock Nelson, so I'll be on Brock Nelson for a goal prop. He didn't have any shots in his first game, picked up some points, but I will be on Brock Nelson for a goal for the Avs in his second game with his new team.
A very, very large number there, as DRS alluded to. The Avs, by the way, a 9-1 price right now. Now just four teams around the NHL with a three-digit price to win that Stanley Cup, as we shared. Vecchio, before we turn our attention to the NBA, let's finish it out with an NHL play tonight. Yeah. What else do you like on the slate on the ice?
So, speaking of the Avs, they just beat the Toronto Maple Leafs the other night, and frankly, a pretty embarrassing loss for the Leafs considering the moves that they made at the deadline. They were up, and all of a sudden, the Avs offense explodes, and the Leafs don't look good. Now, I don't have a whole lot of trust in the Leafs long-term going into the playoffs, but they are better than Utah, so I will simply take the Leafs on the money line tonight. I think it was -118 up to -122 or so right now. I think that's totally played. They have to bounce back. They may not be great long-term, but they are just better than Utah.
Let's get it over here to the association today. And a rematch, run it back, game number two. Yeah. And a blowout victory yesterday for OKC. The Denver Nuggets staying in town. This line opened up as a -9.5 point favorite. It's currently sitting at -9 as a favorite towards the hometown team, Oklahoma City Thunder. Total opened up at 239.5 in New Jersey. Now sits at 238 even. Nuggets Thunder, buy back today on the Nuggets or another impressive victory for OKC on deck for you, Tom?
I actually don't mind Denver today, but specifically I do like under 238 and a half. I was on the under yesterday. We're essentially having the same exact game outside of Aaron Gordon, who didn't return last night. I would assume he's not going to play today. We obviously don't have final confirmation on that. But yesterday, OKC shot 48.9% from the field. So I'm just expecting a little bit of natural regression for them to not shoot nearly 50%. And we saw the under hit yesterday. It was 242, 242 and a half, whatever it might be. We saw 230 total points yesterday. So if I'm expecting regression from OKC and we're getting nearly the same number from the total, I don't think Denver wants to get out and turn this into a track meet, which is a scenario where they lose yet again. So I think Denver live to cover, not to win, but we will see the under hit yet again.
Nine games for Denver since the All-Star break. The Nuggets have played to the under in 7 of 9. Tom, after Nikola Jokic made history in overtime on Friday night, the first ever 30-20-20 game, 31 points, 22 assists, 21 rebounds in Denver's victory over Phoenix, the margin to win the MVP still favored Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but it was a little bit tighter, which made yesterday's game not just compelling from the overall sides, but of course, the individual race for the most valuable player. SGA goes out, leads OKC to a big home victory, scores 40 points for a third consecutive game. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander now back to a minus 600 favorite to win that MVP hardware. Tom Vecchio, tell us all, is the MVP race in the NBA now done?
It is. It is, and it was done before yesterday's game. It was going to be done, I would say, regardless the result of yesterday's game or tonight's game. I don't want to say it's voter fatigue, but we have seen this play out over the years, whether it's Embiid versus Jokic. Like, the storyline has been built from the start of the season that SGA was, like, a really, really solid option. And once he really strung together these 40-point games, especially these 50-point performances, and the fact that they are the number one seed, listen, he goes out here and he could drop 10 points tonight. The odds would change, but I still think he's going to win the award.
Let's get on to some bigger, more pressing news. Let's get back to the ice, Tom, for you. The Great Chase, which if you're on the FanDuel Sportsbook, you can check out some interesting measures here on Alexander Ovechkin scoring that all-time goal that we need, 895. Now, if I ask you a question here, there's price points here. Will that goal be even strength at minus 220, the power play plus 150, or shorthanded at 100-1? Those options available at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Tom. You going with the power play? You going with the even strength? What do you got?
I think it would have to be power play. I'm almost positive he doesn't play on the penalty kill. I would have to double check that, but like pretty sure he doesn't play on the penalty kill. So that's just like a non-option. The power play is just the easy answer. It also gives us solid odds. So that would probably be the best spot to go.
Alexander Ovechkin scoring an empty netter yesterday. Ooh. Goal number 886 only needs 9 more. You couldn't look at Tom's top props and figure out what team both of these NBA guys play for. We had to skip to Ovi. Yeah. Anyway, Vecchio, big story in the NBA now. The absence of LeBron James for LA and Jalen Brunson for the New York Knicks. So in the absence of those two stars, who steps up tonight as the Lakers visit Brooklyn and the Knicks out on the other coast visiting Sacramento?
Yeah, let's keep it simple with Reeves for 3+3s. I saw it at minus 106. I saw it at minus 120. We did get some news that I forget who got ruled out for the Lakers a little while. Hayes, maybe. But I like the matchup going up against Brooklyn. They're allowing 13.7 threes per game over the last three. That's the 12th worst in the league. When we look to the Lakers, when LeBron is out, we see Reeves. He's hitting 4.28 threes per 36. He's also attempting 10.42. So, again, this doesn't have to be like a super high efficiency. We will look to Reeves for 3+3. Threes, and then Josh Hart over 24.5 points plus rebounds. The Kings are allowing 21 points per game and 7 rebounds per game to opposing small forwards. And this is really a mark that Hart can get to even when it was, you know, Cat off, Cat on, Brunson off, Brunson on. It doesn't matter. He's just always been doing this double-double role. And again, we have the Kings on the second night of a back-to-back, so I will take Hart putting up some solid production tonight.
Vecchio, as we get ready to break down the college basketball slate on this Monday, any team in conference tournament action we should keep an eye on?
I have yet to look at today's schedule, but I had a big upset because of Pepperdine last night.
What were you doing all Sunday?
Sunday? Yeah. I was working. I was doing in-game live.
It was working out.
It's just the conference tournament moves forward. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. It is a Monday that really conference tournament week picks up. We've got two spots in the NCAA tournament up for grabs tonight. We'll break it down. But Donnie, before we get there, just quickly some NFL news as the insiders can get back on Twitter and get some things out. J.C. Horn, the cornerback for Carolina, a Pro Bowler, is now the highest paid DB in NFL history. A 4-year, $100 million deal with $70 million guaranteed. That is a $25 million per year AAV. J.C. Horn, one of the anchors of that defensive side for a Panthers team that should be feeling rather optimistic entering this offseason, is staying in Carolina.
Yep. What they feel is they have their franchise cornerback as well as franchise quarterback. He's 25 years old. So you sign him for 4 years, he'll still be in his prime all the way through. And a rebuild in the NFL, what's a long-term one technically? Maybe 3-4 years at the most. So he'll still be in his prime if you figure Carolina turns it around. You don't mind it. Yep. You have to spend the money on somebody. He's a very good player in his mid-20s. It's a good move for the Carolina Panthers to lock it up. And by the way, other players on other teams, cornerbacks, like, they are just ringing the phone for the general manager. Like, every single thing that comes back is like a record-breaking deal comeback. And also, Jaylen Warren, Ben, gets hit with the, I forget what the tag is called, $5.38 million, like a second round tender tag, restricted free agent. Because I was wondering where the Steelers would go at running back. Mm. They're not losing Jaylen Warren, which means Najee didn't get one of those tags. He's a free agent, so keep an eye out on that one. So a lot of things moving around the NFL this morning.
A lot of stuff happening out of Pittsburgh that will continue. Noon Eastern time, the official legal tampering window underway, but maybe some illegal non-tampering window happening earlier over the weekend. There will be a flurry of moves we expect on the really first full day of free agency around the NFL that we'll have for you tomorrow morning. Two spots into the men's NCAA tournament. Two tickets looking to be punched tonight. First, we start in the Sun Belt Championship, the gauntlet that it was. As Donnie and I were breaking it down, right, the one seed, South Alabama, the two seed, James Madison, they got byes all the way until yesterday in the semifinal round, but they took on the 3 and 4 seeds and got beat. Arkansas State, who was the favorite to win the Sun Belt men's tournament and get that automatic bid to the big dance, is the ever-so-slight favorite tonight against Troy. DRS, let's start in the Sun Belt, then we'll get to the SoCon and the matchup between Furman and Wofford for that tournament title as well. Sun Belt championship game. How do you break it down between Troy and Arkansas State?
It's kind of tough. Like, you know, liking Arkansas State yesterday, bet them at that point. And by the way, only when, what was the final score? Was it 74-71, something like that? I needed them to cover minus four and a half late in that game. Had an easy cover, free ball with 3 seconds to go. A couple missed free throws was down. But Arkansas State, I thought, was the better team yesterday and handled their business. However, they are the number one, you know, most efficient team on offense and conference play. But the matchup isn't fantastic. And even from Troy's perspective, right, they love to shoot the three-point shot. They don't make a lot of them, only about 30%. But the problem is Arkansas State's defense really defends the three-point line and chases you off the three-point line. If you look at how many teams in conference play, I believe it's 14 point distribution here. Last is Troy inside the arc. Number two is Arkansas State. So they don't even match up the way you want to match up if Troy wants to pull this game out. So I do lean on Arkansas State because I like the defensive matchup and they do have the best offense in conference play, but it's probably going to be a no play for me after all. But I'll root for Arkansas State in this one.
The slight favorite, Brian Hodson, has done a great job in his 2 years with the Red Wolves. 20 wins in year number one, looking for win number 25 today in the matchup against Troy. It would be Arkansas State's first appearance in the Big Dance since 1999. Mm. A long time coming. SoCon tournament title game. Not the teams we expected to be here. Furman knocks off Chattanooga in OT yesterday. What job by Furman. Lost a guy named J.P. Pegues. You probably remember the name. He hit that game-winning three against Virginia. Now, two big dances ago, he's riding the pine at Auburn, but was a big acquisition in the transfer portal this offseason. They knock off Chattanooga. Wofford pulls up the pulls off the upset as well. 2.5-point spread in favor of the Paladines today against Wofford DRS, who earns that spot in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, Wofford yesterday with a nice cover. Easy victory at -9.5. Here's the tough part about this, too, is you take a look at Furman's defense. They don't foul, so you're not going to steal those free throw line points there. And also understand this. You do, but this conference loves to shoot the three-point shot. 47% of the shots from three-point land coming from Wofford out of their total offense, but you have that Furman defense. Fourth in conference at defending the three-point shot, number one in conference at chasing you off. How about Furman's offense? Half of their field goals, Ben, come from three-point range. Eighth in conference play at letting you shoot it is Wofford's defense. You probably get the, I don't have this one on my card, but I probably would give the light lean here and say, you know what? Give me the team that's going to be able to shoot the three-point shot as many times as they want, and that's Furman. Slight lean for me towards Furman today.
And they have a better three-point percentage as well. 51.1
Correct.
Of the overall field goal attempts for the Paladins come from deep.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
35.9% is that three-point percentage. Those are the two finals today. WCC semis, the big boys in action. Gonzaga, 14.5-point favorite against San Francisco. And Pepperdine, on a magical March run, they have won three games in 3 days. They take on the top team in the West Coast Conference in St. Mary's, 19.5-point spread.
Yeah, here's the tough part about this, too, is you take a look at Pepperdine's offense. They better score down low, and they might be able to a little bit, even though St. Mary's the best overall defense in conference play. We look at point distribution. Nobody allows more points inside the arc than St. Mary's because they're very good at defending the three-point line. But you take a look at the matchup here for St. Mary's offense. They should be able to do whatever they want against Pepperdine. Could we have a sneaky total, not team total, total go over in this game if Pepperdine can get anything going on offense against St. Mary's?
For the Gaels, one of the slowest teams in college basketball. Pepperdine, by the way, has won outright as a double-digit dog in each of their last two teams. The Waves rolling. They were a 15.5-point dog against Santa Clara. DRS, anything else on that board? Any other play in the final 30 seconds?
Yeah, here's it. Charleston, Montana State, Towson, and St. Mary's. Not saying I'm taking them all, but those are the teams I'm looking at today, whether to win the game or take a team total. We'll be able to factor in. The good part about it, Ben, there's no noon games today. We have all afternoon to get these right, and I'll put them out on Twitter when they're done. Oh, I'm a man of the people. I like to share.
Yeah, you certainly are. And we'll talk tomorrow, DRS. Looking forward to it. Enjoy the money line. More college basketball news next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Breaking news out of the National Football League. Things you can expect all day long. Khalil Mack, a free agent perhaps, but heading back to the Los Angeles Chargers on a one-year, $18 million deal, maybe ending out his career in L.A. There was a thought and some speculation around National Football League circles that Mack would return to Chicago to anchor a Bears D-line in the final year of his career, ending things out where he spent some of his prime, of course, after leaving the Raiders. He will remain in Los Angeles. 1 year, $18 million deal to stay with the Bolts. Plenty of news expected on the first full day of free agency around the NFL when teams can agree to terms with those players and their representation, of course, in the legal tampering window that starts this afternoon at noon Eastern time. Any news around the NFL, and of course there will be some, that we see on this Monday, we'll recap for you on a Tuesday starting at 8 a.m. Eastern. But on this Monday, so much good college basketball. And that includes in women's college hoops as well. UConn, the national championship favorites, looking to claim the Big East tournament title today against Creighton. The Connecticut Huskies, an 18.5-point favorite to knock off the Jays and claim the Big East crown, trying to make sure they can be a one seed in the NCAA women's tournament. But because of the fact the Big East on the women's side, not nearly as strong as the Big Ten, the SEC, heck, even the Big 12 or ACC this year, UConn doesn't have some of the strong metrics that others do. Could all four one seeds hail from two leagues like South Carolina and Texas out of the SEC, USC and UCLA out of the Big Ten? Perhaps. But again, those national championship odds as of this moment. UConn a co-favorite alongside South Carolina. Paige Beckers and the Huskies, an 18.5-point favorite against CU in the Big East tournament title game on this Monday. Let's recap Championship Sunday with the other four power conferences. South Carolina dismantling Texas, winning by nearly 20. Expected that game to be a lot closer. The Gamecocks were a 3.5-point favorite. They win 64-45. South Carolina, the one seed in the SEC tournament, because of the coin knew exactly what it was doing. Big Ten title game. UCLA entered yesterday's matchup against their crosstown rivals in Southern Cal. 29-2 this year. The only two losses for the Bruins against USC in the regular season. The Trojans' only two losses, led by Big Ten Player of the Year Juju Watkins and Wooden Award favorite. They lost to Iowa on Caitlin Clark's jersey retirement day and earlier in the year as well. In non-conference action, blanking on the team, I looked this up. Was it Louisville? It was some team out of the ACC, if I'm not mistaken. Either way, only two losses for USC. So a huge matchup in a Big Ten tournament championship game in Indy between the two schools, separated by about 15 miles in Los Angeles, and UCLA got its revenge. The Bruins down by 10 at the break, 13 early in the third quarter. Lauren Betts, one of the best bigs in college basketball, showing through. UCLA and USC plus 550, tied for the third best price. Texas also plus 550. Notre Dame struggled, got knocked off in the ACC tournament. So the title game yesterday, Duke and NC State, the Blue Devils win big, 76-62, first tournament title under Carol Lawson. That a big win there for the Blue Devils. And in Big 12 tournament title, TCU, led by Haley Van Lith, knocking off Baylor 64-59. The Horned Frogs, an 80-1 price. But could they be an Elite Eight team? Maybe making that number look a lot shorter? Perhaps rounding out that board. Still keep an eye on Westmore and NC State, a Final Four team a season ago. All right, the rest of our college basketball slate on this Monday. You heard from DRS, highlight Towson. They're taking on Delaware, a Delaware team into the semifinals. Into the semifinals right now of CAA tournament action. A Delaware team that lost 11 of their last 12 in the regular season, but they have won three straight to get to this point to match up against Pat Scarry and his Tigers. Still like Towson in the game, total 144.5. Delaware can shoot the three. Towson is good defensively, as you will find. So many other things happening as well. And again, a reminder for your tournament titles and the two tickets at stake tonight to the men's NCAA tournament. In the SoCon, it's Furman versus Wofford. In the Sun Belt, Troy and Arkansas State. All of that recap for you on a Tuesday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid. 8 a.m. Eastern time. We'll talk then.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.